ప్రభుపాదికి, అనందకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి, మధురపురి ధామ్ కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే, కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ, ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా, నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే, తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం, ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదిదరద చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్, తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద య ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష, ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సతాం, వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్. నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుదం, పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమపేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ, పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితితీర్షదాం తమోంధం, సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనిం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం, దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొణిదాదృతానేందోః, మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం నా కనిగాపి గాపి గావి. నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణే పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమాం మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్ర మరుద స్తున్వంది దివ్యైస్తవే వేదై సాంగపదేర్క్రమోపనిషదే గాయంతి యం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనస పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో వి వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ లాస్ట్ సండే అబౌట్ ది కాంటో 11 ఏకాదశ స్కందం అండ్ హౌ వేదవ్యాస మహర్షి బ్రాట్ ఏకాదశం ఇన్ టు శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. యాజ్ యువ్ సీన్ దే దర్ ఆర్ ది వెరీ ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ది కాంటో 10 వేదవ్యాస మహర్షి హ్యాస్ ఆల్రెడీ షోన్ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ ఇండికేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు సే ఇన్ ది ఇన్ కాంటో 11 ఇన్ ఏకాదశ స్కందం. Beginning onwards from Sudama's story, if you read Sudama's pastimes with Krishna, from then on all the pastimes successively was only showing one thing. What was that? To show that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Not only that, the Yogeshwara or the extraordinary yogic power of Krishna, this is what is explained in that subsequent pastime from Sudama onwards. So from then you will notice there that the first one after Sudama's story, Krishna decided to take Sudama into the such a higher position as a devotee. You will see that vijitra rupa tava khalu anugraha, that is Krishna's speciality. When he wants to offer his mercy to anyone, how Krishna offers, it's different for everybody. It is not the way he has blessed one devotee is not the same way he has blessed another devotee. Everyone is different. That is why it said vijitra rupa tava khalu anugraha. Krishna's anugraham, Krishna's mercy is such that he blesses every devotee in a different way. That is what we have seen in that pastime. That Sudama was blessed in one way and Kunti Devi was blessed in another way. Bhishma was blessed in a different way. So everyone, Krishna accordingly blessed according to in a different way as he liked. Vijitra Rupam. Nobody knows how Krishna wants to offer his mercy to anybody. Vijitra Rupa tava khalu anugraha. Anugraham is like that. So after that important pastime of Sudama, if you look at the next pastime, what do you find there? There is the story of Devaki Devi's children. Devaki, one evening, when Krishna came for, one morning when Krishna came for Guru Vandanam to pay his respects to his parents also, and at that time Devaki Devi mentioned to Krishna that I had another 6 children who were above you, who were born, whom your uncle Kamsa has very mercilessly killed them. They were children of Marichi. Mariji was one of the oldest Prajapati. They made a mistake in one instance in Brahma's assembly. Brahma's daughter is Saraswati Devi. Also, she has a position as a wife mentioned in the Puranas. So, in one occasion, these Mariji's children, in the assembly of Lord Brahma, Brahma spoke something which was not appropriate, as they felt, to Saraswati Devi. And they felt it, the children of Mariji took it in a different way, and they made some comments on that to Brahma. Brahma told them, go and take birth as the demonic family. And those six children of Mariji, they had to come and take birth in the family of Kamsa, as Kamsa's six children. They were born as Kamsa's six children. These six children from Mariji, they had to take birth as Kamsa's six children. So, when they were born, Kamsa was very merciless towards Devaki Devi. Vasudeva brought them to the Kamsa's palace, and Kamsa killed all of them, all six of them. So, they took birth in Devaki Devi's womb, but they had to go, and then eventually they took birth again in Sudhalam, in Mahabali's planet. So, when Krishna came for this morning breakfast with Devaki Devi and Vasudeva, Devaki Devi mentioned her desire to see those children again. I don't know where they are, what has happened to them. Some desire came back in Devaki's heart. It was prompted by Krishna himself, that desire. So Krishna says to mother, Devaki Devi, that if possible when I come in the evening for dinner, I'll bring them with me. If not, I'll bring them tomorrow morning positively. Now who can say this to anyone? That someone who has dead and gone from this world, years ago, not yesterday or two before, years ago, this happens in Dwaraka after many, many years. Devaki Devi's children were killed before Krishna was born, wasn't it? It is after many years, probably Devaki also, see how the Maya, Vishnu Maya works, Krishna's Maya, that Devaki Devi has forgotten that even if they had taken birth elsewhere, they would have grown up and become young men now. So many years have gone by this time. But Krishna's Maya is such, this desire came back and Devaki Devi could not even think that the children had gone elsewhere and they must have grown up. And no such thoughts came to her mind. The only thing she could think of was that they are somewhere. My children are somewhere. That is Krishna's Maya. My children are somewhere. In that situation, what happened was that Krishna gave this promise and took Balaram with him and together traveled to Sudhalam. Sudhalam is the planet where Mahabali lived. If you remember in Vamanavadaram story, Vamana's appearance, what happened? Vamanamurti sent Mahabali to Sudhalam. Sudhala, Adalam, Vidalam, Sudhalam, Taladalam, Rasadalam, Mahadalam, Padalam. There are the lower planetary systems. Out of that, Sudhalam is one of those planets which are highly opulent, even more opulent than the heavenly planets, but presented Draupadam, Dhruva's planet. Sudhalam was offered to Mahabali to stay there. The opulence was so high. Not only that, Vamanamurti said to Mahabali, I will stand there as a gatekeeper for you for a lifetime till Mahabali takes over as the next Indra in the heavenly planets. That is Vamanamurti's mercy to Mahabali. Krishna goes with Balaram straight away to Sudhalam. Krishna knew where they were. When he got there, this is the most interesting thing in this story. Last time, what happened, Mahabali remembered very well. This time, he didn't make any mistake. If you remember, in the last time what happened, when Krishna came as a brahmachari to Narmada River, where the sacrifice was going on, Mahabali was in full opulence as the king of all the three planetary systems. He was there with his wife Vindhyavali. And when Krishna walked in as a brahmachari, Mahabali's questions to Krishna was, what have you come to ask from me? Through that very word, Krishna pulled out Mahabali and pulled him down. That was enough for Krishna. That one word was enough. What have you come to ask from me? This is Krishna. Krishna's mind went in that direction. Mahabali, no doubt, is a great devotee. He is one of the Mahajans as well. സ്വയംഭൂ നാരദ ശംഭോ കുമാര കപിലോ മനു പ്രഹ്ലാദ ജനകോ ഭീഷ്മ ബലിം വയോസഗിർ വയം. സോ ഇഫ് എ ഇഫ് വൺ മഹാബലി ഹു ഈസ് വൺ ഓഫ് ദി മഹാജൻസ് ഇഫ് ദേ ക്യാൻ മേക്ക് എ മിസ്റ്റേക്ക് വാട്ട് അബൌട്ട് അസ് സച്ച് പീപ്പിൾ ഹു ആർ വൺ ഓഫ് ദി 12 ഓതറൈസ്ഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ are these 12 people. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumaram, Kabilo, Manu, Prahladan, Janago, Bhishma, Velim, Vyasagi. So, that Mahabali, who made that mistake, at that time, Krishna said, all right, you are thinking that I have come to ask from you something, haven't you? Okay, give me 3 feet of land. That was enough. That question was raised, and Mahabali was advised by Shukracharya that, please don't offer anything, this is Vishnu has come here in this dress. And if you offer anything, you won't have even dinner tonight. This is what Mahabali was told. But Mahabali is Mahabali, that Brahmanyam in him. That Brahmanyanam Balistvam, all the Brahminical qualities are in Mahabali to the full extent. That is why Brahmanyanam Balistvam, Mahabali is Krishna himself. In among the Brahminical qualities who has got is Mahabali is Krishna. It says, isn't it? Among all the opulences of the Absolute. If you see, in the Bhagavatam it will say like this, that Mahabali is, Krishna says, I am Mahabali among Brahmanas. He is born in a demoniac family. Krishna says, I am Mahabali among Brahmanas. So that was his great quality. Why? Mahabali agreed to offer Krishna. No matter, his own spiritual master is telling him, don't offer anything. He says, what does it matter? After all these yagam, sacrifices, homam, everything is meant to please Krishna. And if I do not, when he comes and asks me for it, if I don't give it, what is the purpose of all my sacrifices? Knowing very well, but that mistake he committed, saying to Krishna, that have you come to ask something from me? That was enough. So that thing, what happened through that, Krishna pulled all Mahabali's opulences out and sent him to Sudalam. You can stay there. So this time, when Krishna came to Sudalam, Mahabali did not put a question, what have you come to ask from me? He was very careful about that because the past experience has not been forgotten. Past experience has not been forgotten. So this time, what did Mahabali say to Krishna? Mahabali says to Krishna, how can I satisfy you? How can I please you? What should I do to please you? And not only that, he said also, unlike in the past time, in this time, Mahabali says to Krishna, the whole Sutalam is yours. He says, I bring everything and paid his full obeisances to Krishna. Krishna knew very well where this is all coming from. So Krishna says to Mahabali, I had come here, I had a purpose behind it. I have not much time to talk other things. I promised to my mother that I have some elder brothers, 6 of them. They are here somewhere, and I have to get them and take them with me. Mahabali says, I don't know where they are, I don't know who they are. Krishna says, no, don't worry about it. I brought their address, everything with me. He says, I know who they are, I know where they are, please call them, he said. Mahabali sent word, and all the 6 families had come from 6 different families. These 6 children were born. And they had come, when they had come, Krishna says to them that to all the children together, do you not want to see your father and mother? Krishna says to these 6 children, do you not want to see your father and mother? Those children completely forgotten where they were. They were started crying as small children. Who will show us our father and mother? They say like this. And they started crying and asking Krishna about it. They have also forgotten. Their actual father and mother were standing next to them. They have forgotten that. And they have forgotten Mahabali. They are in Sudalam either. Nothing was known to them. They only started crying, asking, where is our father and mother? Krishna says to Mahabali, I am going to take them with me. He took them with him. Krishna took them with him. And the next morning, and Dwaraka, Krishna arrives with these 6 children. 6 children. And Devaki Devi, as soon as she saw these 6 children, the milk started flowing from her breast. That affection for the mother, it started coming out, the milk started flowing out. And she started taking one after the other children on the lap and started breastfeeding them. These boys who had come from Sudalam, she is breastfeeding them. Seeing all these things, Parikshit Maharaj started smiling. He couldn't understand this pastime. This is a very strange thing. Devaki Devi is sitting there and feeding these 6 children, whom she thinks they were in their last birth, her children. And now she is showing extraordinary affection to to those children. And seeing all these things, Krishna started, Parikshit started smiling. Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, nothing much to smile about it. Yaya srishti pravartade. That is what Mahabali Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit. Yaya srishti pravartade. This creation itself is running on these principles, isn't it? When Krishna's maya keeps us together, we feel connection with the family, connection with the friends, relatives and society, this, that and the other. So Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out to Parikshit, this creation itself is under Vishnu maya, under Krishna's maya. And it is maya that is keeping us all together. We feel some connection with each other. Why do we feel so connected to each other? He is my wife, she is my wife, this is my children, this is my husband, this is my father, this is my mother. This is all this maya's creation. Yaya srishti pravartade. This is how srishti creation works. And that is all Sukadeva Goswami answered to Parikshit. Sukadeva Goswami answered to Parikshit. Actually, strictly speaking, the purpose behind that was, it was Krishna's unbounding mercy. Unusual mercy. Why? Krishna thought, these six children had come to this, my brothers, they were born before me, and they had to come and take birth as Kamsa's children. Now, let them go back to the spiritual world. That curse is over. Brahma's curse is over. That is finished. They have taken birth. Now, let them go back to the spiritual world. In order to show that extraordinary mercy, let them suck the breasts of Devaki Devi, and that milk when they drink, what is that milk in Devaki Devi's breast? It's Krishna Prasadam, isn't it? The same breast what Krishna has sucked before. So it's Prasadam that. Prasadam has gone to those six children and they went back to the spiritual world. Where will you find a pastime like this? Anywhere in the history. This is what I was saying. All these pastime from now on is Krishna's extraordinary mercy. Extraordinary, unusual, which you will not find in anywhere else in the Puranas. Anywhere, nowhere you will find such pastimes. So Krishna says like this, that nani yainan pradarshyam sobadamanayathaha puraputraan marijehe. Marije's earlier children had to go through this pastime. This is another one of the pastimes to show us. This is all just finishing. 10th canto, Krishna again, Vedavyasa is trying to bring us to the understanding. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Krishna can do this. Nobody else can perform such an activity. That's one. Immediately after this pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find another interesting pastime. The story of the king Shrutadeva. And the Brahmana Shrutadeva and the king Bahulashva. Two devotees. One extraordinarily rich, another one extraordinarily poor. Both very, very special devotees for Krishna. Both of them are very devoted to Krishna. So these two devotees have been requesting Krishna to come to their houses. King was inviting to the palace and Shrutadeva was inviting to the hut. So Krishna said, "Yes, I will." They are in Mithila, in Mithila. This devotees lived. Krishna offered to come, and Krishna decided to go and visit both the devotees. When he decided to go there, Krishna decided that I have promised Bahulashva, I have promised Shrutadeva also, but whom should I go first? For a minute, Krishna thought like that and decided I should go to both places at the same time. So normally, Krishna's friends are always with him. Who is Krishna's friends? Vishwamitra, Vasishtha, and all the other great sages, Kanva, Bhrigu, Angiras, and so on. So many, 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 Narada Maharshi, Durvasa Muni. These are Krishna's friends, all with long beard and tilaks and matted hair. This is their Krishna's close friends. They are with Krishna, moves with them. So naturally, when Krishna goes to visit such devotees, Krishna takes them with him. They also like to go with Krishna. When Krishna wants to visit some devotees, they go with Krishna. So Krishna decided, I have to go to both places. So these sages also wants to come with me. So let them also expand into two. One group of sages going with Krishna to Bahulashva. Another group of same sages, another Krishna going together to Shrutadeva. And
in that group, our Sukadeva Goswami was also there. And he also had to take two forms. One Sri Sukadeva Goswami goes with to Bhavalasya, another Sukadeva Goswami goes with Krishna's to Shudadeva. So in both these places, the reception was quite a bit different. Bhagavalasya's reception was opulent, palace, very big palace with golden thrones and, and many maidservants to serve Krishna in different ways. All of them, all kinds of opulences, big feast, everything was extraordinary in all levels. Shrudadeva's feast, there was not even a proper bench to sit there. Shrudadeva offers him a mat to sit on the floor, and the offering was a glass of water and very little rice or something, whatever that poor Brahmana had and had offered to Krishna. All these sages took both the sides this prasadam in both places. In Bhavalashya's palace and Shrudadeva's hut. Both places they ate happily and they came back. Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard this, he says to Sudev Goswami, who out of those two Sudev Goswamis who went, one to Bhagavasya and one to Shudadeva, who is the one who is sitting here and talking to me? He said, who is the one who is sitting here and talking to me? Sudev Goswami says, that's exactly what I am thinking now. Which one was that? Just see, that Krishna's yogic power, that is why Krishna is called Yogeshwara. There is no higher yogi than Krishna. All the yogic power comes from Krishna. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Bhagavad Gita says, isn't it? At the very end, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha. So Yogeshwara is Krishna. Only Krishna can do this. Nobody else can do this. So after this pastime, in this pastime, also it is an indication of Krishna's extraordinary yoga power. The Yogeshwara aspect of Krishna has come through this. All these pastimes, if you analyze, you will see, prior to Ekadasham, Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi wants to conclude it by saying to us, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To establish that, he has done, shown this, put these pastimes together at the end. Immediately after this pastime, you will see in the Bhagavatam, there is a famous story of Arjuna's false ego being crushed. Arjuna's false ego being crushed. Jishnor garvam viyedham tvai manajadiya kundida chasya buddhim tatva rudham vidhadam paramadamavada prakshane nidhi manye. Jishnor garvam vinedham. Jishnu is Arjuna. Arjuna's pride has to be crushed. Krishna decided that. What was Arjuna's pride? Arjuna had a lot of pride. Arjuna's first pride was, I am the first person who heard Bhagavad Gita. This was Arjuna's pride. I am the first person who heard Bhagavad Gita. Number one. Number two, I am the person who got Gandivam, the bow, isn't it? Gandivam, the bow. How? Because with Krishna's help, if you remember, Gandava Daham happened. The whole forest was offered to Agni, for fire god, to eat away in Indraprastham. That Gandavadaham happened. The famous pastime in the Mahabharatam, you can read that. So there, by my strength, my courage, I am such a powerful hero that I was able to please the demigod Agni. And in return, Agni has offered Gandivam. Gandivam was a very powerful bow. With Gandivam in the hand, nobody can touch Arjuna. That was Arjuna's position. That was one. What else? I am the person who fought with Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati one hand, single-handedly, and I beat up and broke Lord Shiva's head by beating him with the bow. With Gandivam, he beat Lord Shiva's head, and head has been broken by the beating. And I pleased Lord Shiva by my courage, and he offered me in return Pashupadam, the famous arrow. Pashupadam was given to me in return for that. So this was another ego. First thing, Bhagavad Gita, I am the first listener. Then Gandivam, I was the person who managed to get it from Agni. And then third one, Pashupadam, I managed to get it from by beating Lord Shiva. That's a famous pastime. Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati comes in the form of a hunter and a female hunter, and together they had this famous pastime with Arjuna. Arjuna, in that, eventually Arjuna fought with the, Shiva very, very vigorously, and Arjuna, Lord Shiva pleased with Arjuna's courage, handed over to him Pashupatam, which comes in the Mahabharata war, while he fought the war. So all these kinds of things has gone into Arjuna's head, quite a bit. And the result was that Krishna decided that this is Krishna's mercy, actually. When a devotee gets proud, first thing Krishna does is that pride must go. Because if this, because of the pride that everything happens, isn't it? Pride is the beginning of the fall. So our Arjuna also was going through a state of mind at that time that somehow or the other, I am the middle of the Pandavas. I am Madhyama Pandava. I am the middle one. And Krishna is extraordinarily friendship with me. Krishna needs my friendship. In this kind of way, Arjuna started thinking. So Krishna decided that this must go. So in order to do that, this particular pastime happens, which is known as the Santana Gopalam story, that a Brahmana in Dwaraka had 10 children. One after the other, they were born, they died and gone. We have discussed this in the 10th canto before. So when the 9 children were dead and gone, every time a child die, Brahmana will come to the palace. Krishna and Balaram will be there at the palace. He'll start beating his chest and start singing a song. There are no Kshatriyas in this place, he'll say. If there are Kshatriyas in this, why should this happen? This was the point what they were making. So when they said that, Krishna won't say anything. He will come, he'll sing this song and he'll go. 1, 2, 3, like this it happened. So eventually people in Dwaraka started saying, oh, the Brahmana is coming with his song. They started talking about him like this, because it's becoming a song like him. Every time comes and abuses Krishna and Balaram and goes back. That's what he did all the time. So Krishna every time listened. One day somebody asked Krishna, people are talking about you, you know, that you are very partial. Only for your mother you will do everything. When she wanted the children, you could go and bring them from anywhere you wanted to bring them. Secondly, when your spiritual master, Sandeepani Muni, lost his child, you could bring them from wherever he was. He managed to get him back. So your own people, you will do anything. But somebody else outside, you will not do anything about it. And Krishna says to him that that accusation is not right. How do you know that the Brahmana is not going to get back his children? This was Krishna's point. So the person asked Krishna, if it is like that, why is he not getting it back? So Krishna says, when I lost my child, Pradyumna, I didn't complain to anybody. What can I do? Krishna says, that Brahmana's karma, what can I do about that? This was Krishna's answer to that. Like, from this you can see, this whole pastime was engineered by Krishna and the Brahmana together to bring Arjuna under control. Otherwise such a thing cannot happen in Dwaraka. Dwaraka was guarded by Krishna. Who can touch Dwaraka and such a thing could happen in Dwaraka? Anybody can think that. All the commentators agree on this point. Nobody could touch Dwaraka. What to speak about the death? No one could touch Dwaraka at that time. That was the power. Who was present there? Krishna and Rukmini there. Where is the question of death happening in that way? That's one. Secondly, from these words of Krishna, it is obvious that Krishna had that plan already laid out, how to bring Arjuna into this whole game. So the Brahmana did the same thing twice, thrice, four, five, like this. 8, 9th child were dead and gone. And then Brahmana came up, and when he came in, Krishna and Arjuna were sitting in the reception room. And the Brahmana came. Brahmana spoke about the same way like before, sang the same song, and this time he was more abusive, the 10th one. He says, there is no more Kshatriyas in this house. What, they are all people, Shudras dressed up as Kshatriyas, he says. Shudras dressed up as Kshatriyas. This is how the words he has used. Arjuna couldn't bear that. He looked at Krishna. Krishna didn't bother. Krishna just kept quiet about it. He has been doing this for the last 10 years. He has been coming and singing this. Arjuna couldn't bear it. There is no Kshatriyas here, he says. He gets up from the chair, goes to the Brahmana. Do you know me, he says to the Brahmana. Brahmana says, who are you, he says. Aham vai Arjuno nama. My name is Arjuna, he says. Have you not heard about me? I have heard Kartavirya Arjuna, another Arjuna before, but I have not heard about you. Who are you? He says. But Brahmana was very insulting way he spoke to Arjuna, and Arjuna's blood was boiling inside. The Kshatriya nature was coming out very strongly in Arjuna. Arjuna says to him that I am not the same Krishna and Balaram you are talking about. I am from the family of the Purus, isn't it? Kauravas and Pandavas are Purus' descendants. And Puru has the qualification, he was an emperor. If you remember Yayati's story, that Puru was the emperor. Whereas Krishna's family are not entitled for that. Krishna's are descendants of Yadus, isn't it? Yadavas are descendants of Yadu. Yadu was refused any kingship. Yadu could not become an emperor because of that curse what was given to him by Yayati. Yayati had these children. If you remember in the 9th canto of this story, Yadu, Turvasu, Druhyu, Anadruhyu, Puru. There were 5 children. Out of that, Yadu, Turvasu, Druhyu, Anadruhyu. They all refused to exchange their youth with their father, Yayati. Puru accepted it because of that. Puru got the authority to continue the dynasty. So therefore, Puru became the emperor. So in other words, Arjuna's position is, I belong to Puru's family, which means I am a Kshatriya by properly authorized Kshatriya. Yadavas are not Kshatriyas because Yadu has no authority. So Krishna is in Balaram, there is no point in talking to them. They are not even Kshatriyas. This is Arjuna is presenting his logic to them. And then Arjuna also says to him that you don't know me, what I have done with Lord Shiva. All that story. And do you know this Gandivam Yasime Dhanu. My bow is Gandivam. And you know the story of Gandivam. Like this, he was boasting himself a lot with this Brahmana. Brahmana says to him, alright, I've heard everything now from you. So if you want to, I'll let you know when the next time this happens, I'll come and let you know in advance. See what you can do. Let me see. Arjuna says, if I couldn't protect him, I'll jump into the fire and kill myself. This is what he said. Jishnor garvam vinedam toimanajadiya kundidam chasya buddhim tatva arudham vidhadam paramadam avada prakshane nedimanyem. That Jishnor garvam, Arjuna's garvam, or the pride was such that it was decided that Krishna has to stop it. So eventually, as you know, in the story we saw that before, that Brahmana comes to the 10th time when his wife was pregnant and called Arjuna out to tell him this. Arjuna was going. Krishna asked Arjuna, where are you going? Arjuna says, I'm just going out. I'll come back later. Don't wait for me for the dinner, he says to Krishna. Knowing everything inside, Krishna didn't say one word. Arjuna left with the Brahmana. Arjuna said, why should I tell Krishna? This is how it came to his mind. At that point, Arjuna felt there was no need to tell Krishna anything about this. This is a matter between me and the Brahmana. So, Arjuna goes with the Brahmana. When he went there, when the delivery happened, prior to that, Arjuna built the whole Sharapanjanam. Sharapanjanam means the sheath with the arrows he has constructed with his various astras and the mantra's power. He has created the sheath. Nothing could escape out of that. Arjuna was damn sure about that. He built it and told the Brahmana, as soon as the baby is born, let me know, I'm going to stand outside. Arjuna is waiting outside for the birth to happen. In course of time, in a few hours or so, the baby was born, but before anybody could know anything, the baby was gone. Even the body was in there. In the last nine times, at least the body was there, but this time even the body was gone missing. Even the body was gone missing. Brahmana came out from inside and blasted Arjuna there. Told him, you call yourself a Kshatriya, he says. And there is some conversation between Brahmana and Arjuna. Brahmana says to Arjuna that you better give up this bow and arrow. Go and hang yourself or jump into the fire as you promised me. Like this, abused so much Arjuna. And Arjuna did not know what to reply because he was in a predicament. He hasn't told Krishna either what has happened here. So he goes looking for this children, Arjuna, this 10th one. He went everywhere. Indra's planet, Yamaraja's planet, everywhere, wherever he wanted to go, he went and looked everywhere. He couldn't find anywhere. Then he thought, should I go to Kailasam now, to Lord Shiva's abode, and look for him there? At that point, the thought came to his mind, that won't be very good, because I had such staunch faith in Lord Shiva's position. And if he does not, if he wants to do this to me, let them do it, because I am served him, and there's no need for him to get upset with me like this. So he didn't go there. Then what was the last option left for him was to jump into the fire. The fire was made. Arjuna was going to jump into the fire and finish himself. It was then that suddenly Krishna held him there. From nowhere Krishna appeared, pulled him back out of the fire and asked Arjuna, what is going on? Arjuna says to him that this was my commitment. I am going to honor my word. There were such people, when they say something, they will honor their word. Not that they will say one thing tomorrow, change it next day. This is not the Vedic system. Vedic system is to honor what one say. Otherwise, it is no meaning. For them, it was dearer than anything else. So, Arjuna says to Krishna that I have made this commitment. Then there was a conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, whom we have seen before. Krishna says to Arjuna, why did you not say this to me? That time Arjuna says to Krishna that I could have said this to you, but the reason I deliberately didn't say this to you, because that this Brahmana has suffered so many deaths of the family, and eventually now the 10th child has also gone. And people are talking about you as that you are very partial to your own relatives, and only you look after them. You don't bother about others. This is Dwaraka, it's being spoken like that. So it was then that Krishna understood that, so why do you have to come? Arjuna says to Krishna that I couldn't live here hearing this being spoken about you. This is the words Arjuna has used while talking to Krishna. I couldn't live here hearing like this about you. So, I have decided to give up this life. Only and then Krishna recognized Arjuna's devotion and said to Arjuna, come, stop now. We won't have to jump into the fire. Come with me, he says. Krishna takes him straight away to Vaikuntha planets. And there, Mahavishnu receives both of them and welcomes them and tell them that I have brought you both here because the children of Brahmana are here. Please take them. And all the 10 of them, Mahalishmi brought some of them, Sridevi, Bhumidevi brought some of them. All these 10 children, they started coming to Krishna with two hands and handing two children on each hand. Like this, Arjuna took other few. They all boarded the chariot and came back. We talked about this before in the 10th canto. We'll not go into details. So when they came back, handed over all the children to this Brahmana. Brahmana, at that point, all the 10 children, Krishna came in the chariot with Arjuna, and Arjuna went up to knock the door of the Brahmana's house. Brahmana came out. Brahmana asked Arjuna, so you said you were going to jump into the fire. You got frightened, have you? And come back here again, he says to Arjuna. Arjuna was sweating. His sweat was coming out. Didn't know what to say. He says, no, Krishna has come with me. He wants to see you, he said to Brahmana. And also he has asked to come with the Brahmani, Brahmana's wife, together to come. They both came. When he came in the chariot, all the 10 children were sitting there. So Krishna started counting. This is the first one. This is the second one. This is the third one. And this is the last one which Arjuna has said he will protect. So this 10 children were handed over to the Brahmana. From Vaikuntham they were brought back. You will not find a pastime like this anywhere. Anywhere. Because normally, somebody goes to Vaikuntham, he does not come back. Nasa punaravartade. That is the firm conclusion of all the Upanishads. That is why going back home, back to Godhead, isn't it? That you don't come back again. Otherwise, what's the point in going there if you have to come back again here? So, nasa punaravartade. That is, Vedic statement is like that. Nasa punaravartade. No more taking birth again into this material world. But this one pastime is special. Even if you have gone to Vaikuntha, if Krishna wants, he can bring you back here. This is also there, that message. And for the sake of releasing Arjuna's pride was gone. With this, it was enough for Arjuna to realize up to this point, all my strength, all my courage, all my intelligence, everything what I had was Krishna's. It is Krishna's intelligence, Krishna's strength which was coming through me. That is why when Krishna left the world, when Arjuna came to see Yudhishthira Maharaj in Hastinapur, Yudhishthira asked him what happened. What did he say? Vanchidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubina. Krishna has cheated me. This is what Arjuna said. Krishna has cheated me. Cheated me means that we also say like that, isn't it? Somebody died very close to you, as dead and gone. He has cheated us. He has left us and gone without any knowledge. So same thing Arjuna was feeling at that time. So this particular pastime is a very last pastime in the, one of the last pastimes of 10th canto. Again to establish who is Krishna. You don't find these pastimes in any other devadas, any other demigods or anyone, anywhere is a pastime like this. Srimad Bhagavatam has been presenting, telling us that to establish before starting Ekadasya Skandam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they are all reporting to Krishna. They are all coming from Krishna. Like Srimad Bhagavatam, where does it come from? It comes from Krishna. It's not coming from anywhere else. That's why in the Bhagavatam, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. Isn't it? Four verses. In the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. And who is Brahma? Krishna sitting in the dress of Brahma, hearing Bhagavatam from Krishna. Bhagavatam from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Brahma to Sri Narada Maharshi. Krishna sits there in Narada Maharshi's dress and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma. Sri Narada Maharshi gave this in three chapters. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Brahma to Sri Narada Muni. In four verses, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. Sri Narada Maharshi gave the whole Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa Maharshi to expand. Vedavyasa Maharshi expanded that to 18,000 verses and elaborately presented Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami, to his son Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami presented Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj on the day when he was cursed by, and he was cursed that he will only have a 7 days time to live. And therefore, in 7 days' time, whatever came to his Sukadeva Goswami's mind, he spoke in the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. So that is how this Saptaham came up. That 7 days' time to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, that tradition came from there. When Parikshit Maharaj was given Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami. Later on, Sukadeva Goswami's disciple, Suda Goswami, came to Naimisharanyam and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam there. If you remember. But when Suda Goswami came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to all the great sages assembled there, what was going on there was a 1,000-year sacrifice. Sahasra Samamasada. Bhagavatam says like this. Sahasra Samamasada. 1,000-year sacrifice was going on. Homam, Yagam, all kind of Yajnam. They were all going through that 1,000 years continuously. In Naimisharanyam, this was going on. It was to that assembly that Suda Goswami walked in and presented Srimad Bhagavatam there. So originally it was called Brahmasatram. Brahmasatram means on Brahma's instructions, all the sages came to Naimisharanyam, and in Naimisharanyam, therefore, they were performing this 1,000-year sacrifice. But the moment Suda Goswami came there and presented Srimad Bhagavatam in that assembly, Brahmasatram was changed over to Bhagavata Satram. It became a Bhagavatam Satram because Bhagavatam took over the prominent position in that Satram more than any other Yagam, Homam or Yajnam or anything like that. So you can see that Srimad Bhagavatam has, Krishna has spoken at different times through different forms, through different places to different devotees in different conditions. Kasmayena vibhasidodam milam jnana pradiva pura tadruvena jan aradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina yogi indraya dalpanada. Bhagavatam says like that, that in the Brahma's dress, Krishna sat and listened to Bhagavatam. In Sri Narada Maharshi's dress, Krishna sat and listened to Bhagavatam. In Vedavyasa Maharshi's dress, again, Krishna sat and listened to Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, in Sukadeva Goswami's dress, Krishna sat and listened to Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how Bhagavatam has been spreading in this whole creation all the time. So, anyway, through these verses, you can see that Srimad Bhagavatam has been the story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna's pastimes, the importance of that is stressed in the Bhagavatam itself, how important it is. So, after this particular pastime, we are now going back to another story, where what happened with a devotee who was commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam. Melpattu was commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is on the 100 days he praised Krishna and summarized Srimad Bhagavatam. On the 88th day, he completed this story. He completed the story of the Brahmana. After that, he thought that now most of the stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam I have completed. I have spoken to Krishna. Whatever I wanted to say, I have completed. Now from now on, I have not got much to say. Ekadasi Skandam is difficult for me to summarize because of its gravity. And nobody knows whether if I present it properly, whether it will be satisfying to Krishna. Thinking all that, what he did was, on the 88th day, while presenting the story of the Brahmana, keeping that as the last pastime in the 10th canto, this devotee said to Krishna, very last 10 verses he compiled this whole story. On the 11th verse, he said to summarize the whole canto 11. Whole canto 11, he summarized. How did he summarize? He said to Krishna, in Ekadasi Skandam, there is only two stories, two incidents to think about. One, Vasudeva and Devaki being instructed by Srinarada Maharshi. Another one, Krishna is instructing Uddhava. These are the two important episodes in the Canto 11. What he did was, he said to Krishna, Prayena dvaravatyamavrtatai dada narada tvadrasavadram tasma lebhe kadajil khalu sugradamedi tulpida tatvabhodam. In order to wake up Vasudeva and Devaki and to make them realize that their duty for taking Krishna shelter and going back to the spiritual world, in order to bring that desire for liberation. Vasudeva and Devaki even did not get a desire for liberation. Can you imagine? So you can imagine why we don't have a desire for liberation. Is there any wonder? See, desire for liberation is not an easy thing. It doesn't happen to us very easily. Normally, it is so difficult to think that a desire to liberate ourselves from this material existence, it doesn't come very easily. Even Vasudeva and Devaki also did not feel that desire. They also felt that, why, life is going on nicely, Krishna is there as our children, and they are looking after us all the time, and everything is wonderful, Dwaraka, all opulences, wonderful life. And what more do we need? Who wants to know what happens in Vaikuntham and all? This way they were thinking like that. So in order to bring that thoughts in Vasudeva and Devaki's mind, Krishna realized, my parents are not easily going to take to it, unless somebody prompts them from inside. So it was then that Srinarada Maharshi comes and speaks to Vasudeva and Devaki one day. That's what's mentioned. Prayena dvaravatyamavrtatai dada naradatvadrasadram tasma lebhe kadajil khalu sukratanidhi tulpida tatvabhodam tatvabhodam. In order to wake him up, that on his own parents, Krishna decided to send Srinarada Maharshi. And in the next half, bhaktanam agrayai sajagalumadima uddhavatattvam evam prapto vijnanasaram sagila janahida yadhunaste badaryam. Then, and next part, he said to Krishna that in order to please your devotee Uddhava, you gave him this supreme knowledge of Ekadasi Skandam and sent him to Badrinath. Finished. Ekadasi Skandam is over. The whole Ekadasi Skandam was summarized in this one verse. Prayena dvaravatyamavrtatai dada naradatvadrasadram tasma lebhe kadajil khalu sukratanidhi tulpida tatvabhodam bhaktanam agrayai sajagalumadimanuddhavastatvamevam prapto vijnanasaram sagila janahida yadhunaste badaryam. So Krishna is listening to this. What's happening here, he said. All these days, last 88 days, my devotee was telling me the pastimes in the Bhagavatam. I am waiting to hear how he is going to tell me about Ekadasi Skandam. And now, there is some planning going on here in his mind. Otherwise, the whole Ekadasi Skandam is in this one verse. So Krishna also started thinking, there is something behind this, he said. Before Krishna could say anything, he started the 12th verse. 12th verse was, Soyam Krishna Avadaro Jaini Tava Vibho Yatra Sauharda Bhidi Sneha Dvesha Anuragai Prabhridvi Radulai Ashramai Yoga Bedehi Artim Tirta Samastam Amrita Vadamagu Sarvada Sarvalogam Sattva Vishwarti Shandi Pavana Virvade Vatibo Teja Bhuya. So before Krishna could ask any question, he says to Krishna, the devotee said to him, that Soyam Krishna Avadaro Jayadi. Krishna Avadaram, the appearance of Krishna is always winning. And there he started evaluating Krishna's appearance in this world. And he said to him, Snehad Etra Sauharda Bhidi Snehad Dvesh Anuragai Prabhupada Radulai Ashramai Yoga Vedehi. That the Krishna's appearance has a speciality compared to all other appearances. Prior to this, Ramachandra came, Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Narasimham, Vamanam, Balaram, and Sri Ramachandra, Parashuram, all appearances came. But in none of those appearances, something which did not happen has happened in Krishna's appearance. The Absolute Truth has come, Krishna has come here, but when Krishna came, it was a different story altogether. What was that? That is what he wanted to say to Krishna. Soyam Krishna Avadaro Jayadita Vibho. Krishna Avadaram is always winning. What? Jayadi, Jayadi. This word Jayadi is very special. You know, Bhagavatam also, Sudeva Goswami is rations when he uses this word Jayadi. He won't use it very freely. Very, very limited way. Because it's a very important word. Jayadi Dava Vibho Yatra. Sauhardabhidi snehadveshanuragaihi prabhrtibiradulai ashramai yogabedaihi. He says to Krishna that yatra sauhardabhidi snehadveshanuragaihi. In this Krishna's appearance, something which has happened unusual, which has not happened any time before. What was that? Yatra sauhardabhidi. That through friendship, through fear, through love, sneha dvesham, through hate, anuragam, to lust. Through all these things, different human emotions, people were able to go back to the spiritual world. Isn't it? This has not happened anywhere else before. Even in Ramachandra's time, this hasn't happened. It's only happened in Krishna's appearance. Yatra sauhartha bhidi sneha dvesha anuragaihi prabhriti biradulai ashramai yoga bedaihi. A new yoga system. Till now we had karma, jnanam, bhakti. Three major yoga systems. Isn't it? But here, there is another yoga system Krishna is bringing. If you have any emotions, any feelings, any kind, doesn't matter what it is, hate, love, lust, whatever it is, direct it towards Krishna. And at a certain stage, if Krishna is satisfied with the intensity of that, Krishna says, you can also go back to the spiritual world. This is Krishna's mercy. That is why it said like that. Yatra sauharda bhidi sneha dvesha anuragaihi pravrti biradulai ashramai yoga bedaihi artim tirtha samastam amrutapadamagu sarvada sarvalogam sattva vishwarti shandyaihi vakti bhavana varavade vakti purtyai javuyaham artim tirtha samastam amrutapadamagu. Now, all these things, what we have spoken before, what is that? Sneham, dvesham, anuragam, sauhardam, bhidi. These are all normal emotions, isn't it? We know that some people have managed to get back to Vaikuntham, spiritual world, through these, isn't it? If you remember, in the third canto, fourth, fifth canto, seventh canto, we have discussed these things. And some of these personalities who had gone back to the spiritual world through this particular process. That means they hated Krishna, like Shishubala in Dandavatra. They hated Krishna so much, Krishna says, you also come back. Then Kamsa. Kamsa's fear of Krishna is well known, isn't it? Anywhere he sits, he will start looking at the sofa sets. You see underneath that. was looking then. Pulled out the cushions and looking, is Krishna there? Because Vishnu has this nature, he says, of doing things like this. So then while walking you look back, is he behind me? Look this side, that side. So that fear in Kamsa. And that, because of that, Krishna says, you can come back now to me. So Kamsa, Shishubala, Gopis came to Krishna. What was Gopis' understanding of Krishna at that time? Gopis only knew he is one of us. So look after him nicely. And play with him, enjoy him as best as he can. First caught their attention through the pastimes. Caught their attention. Eventually brought them to the lusty feelings in them. And ultimately gave them the supreme knowledge and sent them back to the spiritual world. All these things has happened only in Krishna's pastimes. You won't find this anywhere else. That is Krishna. Because of all these things, the devotee has to say to Krishna, what do we have in this world today? We also have something with us to offer to Krishna. Actually, strictly speaking, there is only one thing we all have in common, and that we have in abundance, each one of us. What's that? The distress in this world. There is so much distress all of us going through in life. Every moment in fear living about tomorrow and all other anxieties. So there is, strictly speaking, there is only distress. There is even said about that. Gamishyami dukkhena dukkham kilavam. Gamishyami dukkhena dukkham kilavam. Dukkham, dukkham, dukkham. That is all what is in store for us in this world, isn't it? If you think about it, that what is in store for us, it is dukkham. Ultimately, it's all distress. That's all what we have in sufficient, in quantity with us. So, just like gamishyami dukkham dukkhen kilapam, that ultimately we leave also this world crying, isn't it? And when the old age comes and disease, and then eventually death. So, when the body starts withering away and unable to do anything with what you have been doing for many years, body pulls back and you need help from others. And others will always look at you for a few days first with some mercy. After that they will also go. Nobody will be there. And then you are not able to do anything. Then somebody will suggest maybe give him some morphine so you don't feel anything. Lie there like a stone, like a wood. And like this. So strictly speaking, no one leaves this world happily. Oh, I am liberated and I am going back home back to Godhead. I have not seen anybody saying this till now. People say, we all say after he has left, oh, he has gone back home back to Godhead. He only knows where he has gone. Here, we are making, loudly declaring, oh, Prabhu, he has gone back to Godhead, spiritual world. Who knows? We are sitting here and making these comments without any understanding. That person must have been thinking, when can I get out of this place? Because the body is not able to do anything. You are so helpless in that condition. You need help from somebody to go to toilet, to bathe, to eat even. And you can't eat anything what you were eating till then. All these nice prasadams will only just remain as a memory then. Isn't it? Is it not like that? At the time of death, what is waiting for us? Do you think we will leave this world happily in these conditions? Nobody has done so far in this world. So that's why I said, gamishyena dukkhena dukkham kilapam. Dukkham is only one thing what is in store. We all know that. Only it's a question of time. For some it's today, for some another one it is tomorrow. That's all the difference is. Gamishyena dukkham na dukkham kilapam. That crying, one day we will leave from this place. We all will leave in the same way. Crying only, not smiling, simply crying. And the same way we came here also, first time. Think about that, when we were born first time, when the mother's womb came, viparidanu gadim gadaha, Kapilavasudeva says to the, came itself upside down first. The head out and then came out from there. And then there itself started everything in circle going on from there. And first many years, no ignorance, complete ignorance, no knowing why we have come here, who we are, no knowledge. And everybody chastising us or correcting us or telling us, go to school, study this, study that, get this degree, get that degree. All kinds of things, make money, get married, get your mortgage, this. So this whole thing is going on from beginning. And crying all that time also you are crying. At the end also you are crying. So where is the happiness? That is what he is saying here. Soyam Krishna Avataro Jayadita Vibho Yatra Sauhardha Bidhi Sneha Dvesha Anuragai Prabhuti Viratulai Ashramai Yoga Vedehi Artim Tirtha Samastam Amrita Padamagu Sarvada Satyalo Satva Vishwarthi Shandhyai Pavana Virabade Bhakti Bhurteja Bhuyaham.
Therefore, praying to Krishna, give me devotion, give me bhakti, let me become your devotee. This is what we have to say to Krishna. This is all what we have to ask Krishna for. Nothing else. We think we have to have this quality to become a devotee, that quality has to become a devotee. You don't need any quality. When you have devotion to Krishna, all the qualities will follow you. They need not have to be searched separately. There is no need for that. This is why it is said in the Bhagavatam, Yasyasya bhaktir bhagavat yaginjane sarvai gunaistatra samasade suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahal guna manoradhena asadi dhavado bahi. Sri Narada Maharshi, when he spoke to Vedavyas, he stressed this point very strongly. He said, Yasyasya bhaktir bhagavat yaginjane, one who has got unflinching devotion to Krishna. Sarvai gunaistatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities will automatically follow him. He doesn't have to endeavor to get them. Any good quality. We talk about so many qualities, isn't it? Good qualities, we say. 26 qualities of a devotee. Then we say another 15 qualities somewhere else. Cite this, we say, oh, you should have this. So I start going, building up this quality, I'm building up that quality. I should have some truthfulness, I should have some humility, I should have that quality. And we discuss all these qualities all the time. Krishna says there is no need for all that. Why? Sarvai gunaistatra samasade suraha. Automatically, if you have Krishna consciousness or bhakti for Krishna, these qualities will follow her. They have to follow her. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahal gunaha. And the person who is not a devotee, Sri Narada Maharshi says, what value has it got if he has got all the qualities? Manorathena sadi dhavado vahi. He is simply on a mental platform thinking about, today he will say, I'll be very humble, this, that and the other. Very next day he'll become very proud also. You can't develop any quality in this world in that way. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out to us to become devotee, to develop devotion to Krishna. It is that devotion that one has to ask from Krishna. So, having said that, here it says, Sarvadasa vahatva vishwati shandyaihi. Pavanavirvade bhakti bhutyaija bhuyaha. He said this to Krishna and closed the chapter there. 88th day. This has happened. He went back to his room to sleep, to come before next day morning to start the, to hand over to Krishna the whole compilation of Bhagavadam and to leave. That evening, about 7 o'clock after the evening arati, Krishna went to him and he was sleeping and dreaming. The devotee was sleeping and in the dreams. Krishna is talking to him. What's the plan? He says to the devotee. He says, I'm planning to, he says to him, it is all happening in the dream state. You know, out of the three states of existence, why it has been created like that? Jagrat, Sapnam and Sushupti. It is the Sapnam states where Krishna has a control on us so nicely. Krishna can tell you what he wants. You can't tell him back. That's the situation. You'll just lie like this, helplessly. And so many dreams are coming and telling us so many different things. So, in Sapnam state, is an indication of a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the gross body is not active. The subtle body is ready to capture anything at that time. Krishna takes that opportunity and talks to the subtle body at that time. Krishna says to him, what's the plan? He says, he thinks, I'm going to come back tomorrow and leave the place. Krishna says, why don't you stay for 2 more days? He said. So, before he could answer, he woke up, came to Jagrat state. From Swapnam, he came to Jagrat state. He looked, there was nobody there. This is the way Krishna talks to the devotees. He comes back again. Next day came back to the temple at 7:30 in the morning. And wanted to continue Srimad Bhagavatam. Took the 10th canto and started looking at it. Is there anything I have left behind? It was then that he noticed there was the 2 stories which he has completely missed out. What was that? One was relating to the story of Rigasura. Rigasura's story, if you remember, who asked Srinarada Maharshi, whom should I worship? Who will offer me the benedictions quickly?
Sri Narayana Maharshi told him, if there is any deity whom you should worship, it is Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He is Ashutosh means he is very quickly pleased. At the same time, he is Ashukopi also, gets angry very quickly with you. So anyway, he told Vrikasura to worship Lord Shiva. That pastime was left out. And then another pastime was Bhrigu Pariksha, Bhrigu's examination of among the Trimurtis, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who is the more tolerant one. That examination. So these two pastimes were left out. So our devotee spoke about that to Krishna in the next 2 days. He spoke about that. And that night when he went back, on the 90th day, when he went back, Krishna went up to him again in the night and asked him, what's the plan? He said, tomorrow was an Ekadashi festival. I'm leaving, he said. Krishna says, no, you have to stay. I have not heard Ekadashi Skandam. Ekadashi Skandam I have not heard yet. I would like to hear that. The devotee says to Krishna, Ekadashi Skandam is beyond my capacity to talk. Because this knowledge which was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna, to Uddhava, without losing the essence, and because it's a shastram, isn't it? Stories, it is easy to summarize. It's not very difficult. You can add things here and there and make it very attractive. But a shastram is very difficult to summarize, because if you say something wrong, the whole spirit will go, of the shastram will go. So it is not easy to summarize a shastram. It is much easier to summarize a pastime, a leela. That's why in 10th canto you find everything is lot more easier to talk about. But Ekadashi Skandam is difficult because of its very nature is like that. So he says to Krishna that this is what is the situation and I do not want to continue this, he said. Krishna says to him that, but I want to hear that. Without telling me that, I am not going to let you go, he said. So he says to Krishna that I can try to do something about Ekadasham, but if I have to speak, you have to be present with me to tell me what I should speak from Ekadasham, number one. Number two, in Ekadasha Skandam, prior to entering into Ekadasham, there is one qualification expected from a person, from a devotee. What is that? Vairagyam. Vairagyam, renunciation. Renunciation, because renunciation is the stepping stone to knowledge. Knowledge won't manifest in a person who is eating up to this and sleeping 24 hours a day. For him, knowledge cannot come. It's not possible. It's only one who has taken austerities and penances in life can understand the spiritual potency and the essence of the knowledge what Krishna has summarized in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Knowing very well all these things, the devotee said to Krishna that I can try to present Bhagavatam, the Ekadasha Skandam, if you give me the knowledge, the renunciation, what is needed. And also, if you give me the understanding, just like you gave to Uddhava, to present it properly to you. In that way, he said to Krishna. Krishna said, that's my problem. Come up and talk to me, he said. So that's how he starts his Ekadasha Skandam summary. And so, Ekadasha Skandam's very nature is knowledge and devotion. These are the two topics discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, knowledge and devotion. And the preliminary qualification to understand these science spoken in the Ekadasham is Vairagyam. Vairagyam is the preliminary science that is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam. So with all this in the background, we are going to come to Ekadasha Skandam. As I mentioned before, the 10th canto had one aspect and 11th canto had another aspect. The 10th canto is based on the vaikarikam, that means emotional side. And the 11th canto is based on the vaicharikam, which means the side related to the intelligence, in other words. Only one who has developed a high degree of intelligence, spiritual intelligence, can accept Krishna's instructions on this. As I mentioned before, simply by hearing Ekadasham won't help unless that knowledge comes to us. Otherwise, what is the point in hearing? Just like any other story I've heard Ekadasham also. What is the point in that? That is not the goal behind it. The idea is that once you hear Ekadasha Skandam, whatever Krishna has spoken there, it should happen to us. Otherwise, it doesn't have the result, desired result. And therefore, the two things what was mentioned before, one is called the Pravarti Leela and the other one is called Nivarti Leela. What is the difference? Pravarti Leela means the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto. By his pastimes, activities, Krishna is bringing us closer to him. And in the Nivarti Leela, or the how to release oneself from this, all these entanglements, how to escape from this. This is what is called Nivarti. Pravarti and Nivarti. So Pravarti Leela is 10th canto and Nivarti Leela is the 11th canto. Which you will see that huge difference between the two cantos. In whereas the 10th canto is full of sweet pastimes in order to pull everybody together towards Krishna. That's what Krishna has done in the 10th canto. Pulled everyone towards him. And after that, giving everyone the highest knowledge how to free oneself from this conditioned existence, which is known as the Nivarti Leela. So, Pravarti Leela and Nivarti Leela, these are the two things discussed in the 10th and the 11th. So, they are in self very different. And Nivarti Leela is such that once you hear Ekadasha Skandam, you will also find that the knowledge that is discussed in the 11th canto is a little difficult for most of the people to fully experience it. We may theoretically sometimes understand that, but in order to get that into our own consciousness, it takes a long, long period of time. That is another important thing mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So, now, before we go into that, for example, Gokula Leela, Vrindavana Leela, Madhura Leela, Dwaraka Leela, they are all Pravarti Leelas. That's what you have to remember. They are all Pravarti Leela. Only the last instructions to Uddhava, which is Ekadasham, is the Nivarti Leela. How to free oneself from this conditioned state of life. So, Krishna has spoken this, the two, if you separate them together, Pravarti Leela and Nivarti Leela comes there separately. Now, if before we understand the 11th canto, there are some more things to know. The 10th canto is very closely related with the 7th canto. 10th canto is very closely related to 7th canto. You may ask why it is like that. The reason for that is, in the 7th canto, the Prahlada story comes in there. Prahlada story comes in there. How does it come? In the Rajasuyam sacrifice, when Srinarada Maharshi was requested by Yudhishthira Maharaj to talk about Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, it is then that this story was presented there. If you remember the background of Prahlada's story in there. In there, Yudhishthira Maharaj had a very important question was asked in that meeting. The question was, how come Shishubala, who has abused Krishna very nicely, got liberated and went back and joined the spiritual world? Similarly, how come Kamsa, who had abused her, who had lived in fear of Krishna and conducted so many sinful things by killing the children, by killing so many babies, by sending the demons, how come they all managed to go back to the spiritual world? Why I am here? This was his question. I am serving Krishna, all the time he is with us, but my case is still not sure where I am going. Whereas, all these personalities, so is there something wrong in this whole process of bhakti? This was the question. So, when this question was raised, the answer from Srinarada Maharshi was, Gopya kamal bhayal kamsam deshya chaidyadayo nruva sambandho vrishnaya snehal yuyam bhakti avayam vibhom. There's one verse, he answered everything. What is that? Gopya kamal. Gopis have approached through kamam, through lust. And they got liberated and gone back. Gopya kamal bhayal kamsa. Kamsa out of bhayam, fear. Deshya chaidya dayonurba. Dvesham or hate was the tool for the emotion or the feeling what Shishubala had. Deshya chaidya dayonurba. Sambhanda Vrishna Yasnehal. Vrishnis have there as their relationship with Krishna. Family relationship. Sambhando Vrishna Yasnehal. Yuyam Bhaktyavayam Vibho. We, the sages, we have devotion to Krishna. And like this, Srinarayana Maharshi answered that. So when they answered like that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was not very happy about that. He was thinking that if you are saying that, if you just hate Krishna, you can go back to the spiritual world. So why should I go through all this devotional service and studying Srimad Bhagavatam? All I have to do is to hate Krishna, abuse him as and when I see him. Or when I go to any temple, stand in front of him and tell him that all nonsense, whatever comes to my mind. Is that not enough? There's a question will come up like that, isn't it? That logically it is correct. From the logic point of view, it is correct also. But the difficulty here is that the way, although these emotions, actually it is not hate that is liberating him. That is what you have to remember. It is not the hate that has liberated Shishubala. It is not the fear that has liberated Kamsa. What has then they liberated them? When any of these emotions become so intense, in other words, our remembrance of Krishna becomes so strong in our mind, at that time, automatically, Krishna, I'll let you go. Let him in. Let him into the spiritual world. Krishna is not concerned whether you hate him or you love him. What does it matter to him? After all, we all have our own nature in it. These are the things to remember in the Bhagavatam. That gopis have come to Krishna in one way, and then they were changed by Krishna himself in another way. All their attitude changed, their desires changed, their mind changed, and eventually, when they were qualified enough, Krishna gave them the spiritual knowledge and gave them out, took them off from here. Gopya kamal bhayal kamsa. Kamsa, out of fear, was doing this. So, strictly speaking, what you have to remember is this, that whether you hate, whether you are fearful of Kamsa, it is not that particular emotions that is what is doing the job. What is actually doing the job is the intensity of that. How intense we are in our relationship with Krishna. Kamsa became so intense that what does the Bhagavatam says about this? That sleeping, waking up, seeing Krishna. And Asina Pairadanjushtan, while sitting, thinking about, if we become thinking about Krishna like that, how nice it would be. So that is what is actually liberates a person from this world. This is what it was saying like that. Then the question will come, what about atheists? Isn't it? What about atheists? Atheists also hate Krishna, isn't it? Atheists also hate Krishna. Because atheists believe that Krishna doesn't exist. There is no Krishna as far as they are concerned. So they hate Krishna. So does that mean all the atheists will be liberated at the end? No, it's not like that. Atheists also actually don't hate Krishna. This is the important thing. What atheists hate is, in the name of bhakti, all kinds of nonsense what goes on in this world. That is what actually atheists also hate. Atheists have no hate towards Krishna. Sometimes we say about people, oh, he is an atheist. Actually, the atheist mentality comes to people because in the name of devotion, sometimes people show all kinds of falsities in this world. Behavior pattern changes and become false in their behavior and exploit others and do all kinds of nonsense in the name of devotion to Krishna. At that time, the atheist nature comes out and says, I don't want to do anything with your devotion and Krishna consciousness. They move out of that. This is how that atheistic nature comes up. So actually what they are fighting, the atheists are talking about, is about our faults in our own Krishna consciousness. That is what coming to them. And that is why they become atheistic. Otherwise, if they really hated Krishna, they also should go back. So Krishna is very calculative when he makes this offer. He doesn't give it easily to anyone like that. So therefore, the process is only bhakti, what is possible. Then they may ask, if it is like that, what about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu? Jaya and Vijaya had to come as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? If they had come here like this, why can't we also, because through they they have developed so much hate for Krishna. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu in the first appearance, then Ravana and Kumbhakarna later, and Shishupala and Dandavatra. All three appearances, there was excessive hate for Krishna in some form, one way or the other. So should we not follow them in the same way and become like that? No, we can't do it. Why? Because these particular emotions you can only have provided you get the ticket before you come from Vaikuntha here. Otherwise it's not possible. They all had come here because they purchased the ticket for that. I am coming here with this ticket and I will serve you in these through and then come back to you. This is, so you have to buy the ticket there before you come here. We sitting here, if we think that they are all like me, I can also do the same thing and start hating Krishna, it's not going to. For us, there is only one route, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. Chanting the holy name, Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If this become continuous in our life, and if this become a non-stop process, and Prabhupada used to say that 24 hours, if that becomes a part of us, then we have some hope. That is the only hope we have. Otherwise there is nothing else. This is the only thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam is repeatedly telling us. This holy name, nothing else. That is what will change our future. There is nothing else what we can do, because we are not qualified for anything else. So when Srinarada Maharshi said this to Parikshit Maharaj, Gopyakamal Bhayal Kamsa Desha Chaityadayo Nurva Sambhando Vishnaya Snehal Uyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. It meant that you can read that is only applicable to them, those personalities. For us, what is left is this distress in our hands and this holy name in our hand. Through this distress, let that encourage us to chant the holy name all the time. And through that holy name, Krishna will accept us also as devotees. So, I will stop there today.